Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you listen to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Rep the Mavs Step Back, overcame the setbacks, starting where we left at. No, we gotta get back. No, we gotta get back. Rep the Mavs Step Back, overcame the setbacks, starting where we left at. No, we gotta get back. Like, no, we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and DallasBasketball.com colleague, Matt Galatson, who is soon to be out of Twitter jail, we hope. We got some good news the other day. We'll see how it goes. But Matt, after beating the best team in the league, in the Utah Jazz, the Mavs turn around in, typical Mavs fashion for the last 2 years, you know, playing down to their competition in the Houston Rockets, and they lose 102-93 in Houston. It was pretty deflating. Luka had a really bad shooting night, 9 of 26. KP, I mean, he had a good shooting night for his standards, you know, 10 of 19 from the field, 2 of 4 from three. And he had a good bit of rebounds too, but he just wasn't really a factor down the stretch, and he showed frustration with that in the post game presser. What do you take away from that Mavs game? I mean, was it just your, you know, let down night, just one of those weird losses that you see during the course of an NBA season, or should we be looking more into this?
Well, I think if it was any other team, you'd have to just chalk it up as a bad loss. But since it's the Mavericks, you know, this is why the whole thing about the back half of the schedule being so easy doesn't matter to me. Yeah. Because they can lose games like this on any given night. And they didn't just lose. I mean, they lost by, what was it, 9?
Yeah, it was 9.
102-93 or something like that. So,
and they fell down by 13 or 14 points at one point too. I mean, it was really close to the Rockets running away with it.
Yeah, and that's the worst team in the NBA. They had lost 24 of 26. They're playing terrible basketball. It's maybe Steven Silas just knows how to play against the Mavs. That could be a thing. I don't know. But,
well, they also got Kelly Olynyk and DJ Augustine, which I didn't even realize that going in. And then when I found out about that right before the game tipped off, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, two of the notorious Mavs killers over the years are both on the same team now. And then John Wall, he was out for an extended period of time, and he made his return, went for 31 points. So I don't know, man. It's a lot of things. And I mean, obviously the Rockets, they have no pressure whatsoever. They're tanking this season. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I think I'm not worried about the Mavs the rest of this season, Matt, in the regular season. But I am getting to the point where I'm kind of accepting that they might, you know, the play-in thing might just be their fate at this point.
Yeah, and I heard an interesting take on that today, and I want to get your opinion on it. And I think you probably know where I stand. It was on – everyone knows probably at this point that I work for 105.3 The Fan as well. And one of the radio hosts this morning said that it was a good loss because
– No. No, it was the worst loss of the season. I'd put it up there.
Because he would rather, instead of playing the Clippers, play – risk the play-in game in round one, and if they lose that in round two, and maybe face either the Suns or the Jazz, whichever. And I was sitting there listening to it, and I was just like, "What?"
No, I mean, maybe the Jazz. I mean, if KP is playing like he should be, then I mean, yeah, I mean, I could see that because they do a good job defending Donovan Mitchell. But the Suns, I don't want any part of that Suns team at all.
I'd much rather play the Clippers than either of those teams because,
yeah,
like proved last year they could play with the Clippers and they're a better team this year. So I don't know. It's and one of the Clippers players that usually kills the Mavs isn't there anymore in Harrell. So I'd feel much more confident against the Clippers. It's just I feel like, you know, they're basically, you know, reserved to their fate at this point. It's going to be either the Suns or the Jazz because they can't win games like this.
And I mean, it, and look, games like last night, it makes you, I mean, you say it's likely going to be the Jazz or the Suns. And I mean, I agree with that if it comes to a play-in scenario, but games like last night makes you worry about the play-in because, you know, we found out how the play-in works. It's a three-game system. It starts off with the 7 seed playing the 8 seed. Winner of that secures the 7 seed. And then the loser will play the winner of the 9 and the 10 seed. And then the winner of that gets the 8 seed. So
it's so dumb.
It is. It's so dumb. You know, they should have it. And I talked about it with a couple guys yesterday about this on Twitter, but what it should, if they're going to do a play in, it needs to be just to where, you know, there needs to be a certain number of games between the 9th seed and the 8th seed to trigger a play-in. If there's too much of a distance, then it shouldn't even factor in. But there needs to be like a certain, like if the 9th seed is within 2 games of the 8th seed at the end of the season, then you have a play-in with just the 8 and the 9 seed. But going to the 10th seed and then potentially, you know, having it to where the 7th seed gets, you know, knocked out of the playoffs, even if they're, I think the Mavs are like a full 8 games ahead of the 10th seed right now. I mean, that's ridiculous, man. That I don't like that at all. And what we saw with the Mavs playing, you know, they play down to their competition. So, I mean, they could be fine in a play-in situation, but it doesn't really make you confident because of how they play down to their competition. You know, they could potentially be outed before the playoffs even started, even if they finish 7th in the West standing. So, I don't like it at all.
You know, the thing about the Mavericks is they're like the one team in the NBA that I can think of just off the top of my head. I'm sure there might be another one that has a bona fide, like top 5 superstar player that I have no confidence in going into any single game. Cause I just don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, it just depends. It's a weird situation with the Mavs because if Luka's playing, then I'm confident in any game that they play. Now, he had an off night last night. I mean, he's not the only reason they lost. I mean, if Luka's going to have an off night, you can't have your starting shooting guard not be able to shoot. You know, Josh Richardson, he went 5 of 5 against the Jazz on Monday, and then he turned around and went 0 of 9 from the field with 1 point against the Rockets, on top of Luka going 9 of 26 from the field. So you're not going to win any games having that. If Luka is going to have a rare off night, you can't have that compounded by any of your other starters stinking it up like what happened last night. But I mean, I'm confident in any game that Luka goes into healthy with this team. It's just, like I said, for whatever reason, you know, like tonight they play the Bucks on the second night of a back-to-back, and, you know, KP's likely not going to play. Should have an update there in about 45 minutes, but shocking. He's likely not going to play. But if Luka plays, you know, I honestly feel more confident about that than I did going into last night's game. I knew last night's game was going to be a trap game. You know, we wrote about it in our preview on DallasBasketball.com. It was going to be a trap game. And sure enough, that's what it turned into. It wasn't the blowout that we saw the last time the Rockets and Mavs played. I think it was 133 to 108. But you still got that feeling throughout the game like, man, they just don't have it tonight. It's not their night. And that's the kind of wins you have to get if you want to avoid the play-in, because they're not that far behind Portland. I think they're only two games – or 2.5 games behind Portland. But when you have them losing to the Clippers, the Trailblazers, they lost to the Clippers the other night, you have to take advantage against teams like this and continue to make up that ground. But the way they play against teams under 500, I mean, they are capable of getting into the top six or higher, but I don't know if they will or not.
Well, this is the same thing that happened last year with the Knicks. Like, those are games that you have to win. And we, you know, people were giving me crap earlier in the year, 'cause I was like, oh, you know, they don't have the margin for error to lose games like this. And then, you know, lo and behold, they get Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers in round one, and they end up losing 'cause KP, and, you know, KP gets hurt and the whole thing falls apart. What if that's the same case this year? I mean, you have 10 less games to make up that ground now, so your margin for error is even less. I know you're playing well, but like, you can't afford to keep losing games like this. And what's the next one going to be? I mean, it's they've got this easy schedule coming up in May, but like, at what point do you start to say, like, we have to figure out what is causing these issues where we play down to our competition? Like, you have to figure that out now, or yeah, you're going to end up being the eighth seed.
They have at least
a game and a half ahead of Memphis.
Yeah, yeah, Memphis is hot right now. I think they've won five straight.
Yeah.
I was just looking at the schedule, like the past schedule last night after this happened, and the Mavs have at least five games where they just completely blew it. You know, that five games that should have been W's, but they weren't. They lost to the Bulls twice. One time they thought they could sit Luka and get by, and they didn't. The second time Luka had a historic first half, and they still couldn't beat the Bulls.
You can't afford to sit Luka for any games.
Ever. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're at. And that's not – I mean, I know Luka, in an ideal scenario, in a perfect world, Luka could take off some games here every now and then, and the Mavs would be fine, and you could coast, and you have – you know, you're a top four team in the West and you get into the playoffs and Luka's completely fresh. But until the front office goes out and does something in free agency or, you know, trade wise around the draft this year to bolster the roster, he can't afford to do that. And that's unfortunate because, like I said, in a perfect world, you'd have Luka rested for the playoffs and it doesn't matter if he takes off a game every now and then, but this team just literally cannot afford for him to sit. And they've punted three games this year where Luka has sat. They just can't afford it. Not if they want to get into the top six. Now, if they're content with a play-in situation, by all means, you know, rest him some more in these last 20 games. But, I mean, you can't afford it if you want to move up in the standings. Not with the way this current roster is constructed. But
it's like what I said in the last podcast. Like, they approach games as if though they're – some top three, top four seed that has, you know, 10 players that they can play on any given night. Yet when you sit Luka or KP.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You only have seven players that you can play. I mean, maybe eight now with Melly, but like your roster is not deep enough for really ideally for either of those guys to take a night off. Now, obviously you have to do it with KP because he's a porcelain doll. Every time he gets, you know, elbowed in the ribs, he sits out for 25 games, but like you can't afford it anymore. You just can't. There's no more room for Luka to sit out another game this season unless he absolutely has to with like some injury or something. He just can't do it.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings. A four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Yeah, and then now with KP, we found out after, he missed the previous game due to wrist soreness. And then after the game last night, when they asked him about it, he was basically just like, yeah, it's just something I'm going to have to deal with the rest of this season, and then we'll have to address it further in the offseason. So me sitting there listening to that, I'm like, oh my God, here we go, you know, another off-season surgery being planned ahead for right now. And, you know, that's not going to help trade value or anything else, but we're going to branch off from that here, Matt. We got some questions for this pod and the KP injury stuff. You know, that's going to kind of, we can kind of relate it to this first question. We got two questions here. One from, let's see, it just says Luka needs help. So that's his screen name, and it's true, but it says,
oh, that's his screen name.
Yeah, that's his screen name on Twitter. So it says, is it looking like the Mavs and KP may go their separate ways in the offseason with how KP is feeling with the Mavs? And then the second one that's similar to that question is from Andreas. It says, do you think the Luka KP issue is serious enough to consider KP gone in the summer? So similar questions there, basically the same thing. And I'll defer to you here in a second, but just my quick take on it. I mean, if they can get anything worthwhile in a package for KP, and I don't know, I mean, I still think there are teams out there who would love to trade for him because they don't really have anything to lose. Teams towards the bottom of the standings, you know, I could see a team. I always thought a team like Orlando would make sense, even though they don't really have anything that I want now. They traded Vooch and Gordon to different teams. But the way it's trending right now, and given the smoke that's come up, you know, before this year's trade deadline and everything, I honestly think he could be gone this summer. It's just a matter of finding the right deal. There's been a lot of smoke with Golden State, but unless they're willing to break up their core guys there, I don't know that, you know, trading Andrew Wiggins and, you know, a couple of picks or something like that, I don't think that's enough for the Mavs. But what do you think?
No. It's very complicated to me because I don't think you can just – say, well, you know, we're moving on from KP and just trade him to anybody, because then you're giving those first round picks away that you traded for him for nothing, basically.
Yep.
You're getting almost nothing on on a return for this guy that you invested so much of your future into. Now, if you can get something like, you know, say the Wizards decide, oh, we want to trade Bradley Beal now, then sure. Or if you can go get like a, I consider Bradley Beal a first tier star. I think that's fair. Yeah. If you can go get a second tier star, I would probably do that too now, because I'm so fed up and frustrated with every single week there's something else with his injury problems, or he's, you know, I mean, like we saw Kirk earlier today arguing with somebody on Twitter about some stuff that happened with KP in the Rockets game. And it's stuff like that that happens all the time. It's very frustrating as well. So it's not just his injuries. It's the way he plays at times as well. And you can't have a guy who's this inconsistent in both his playing time and his time on the floor, like his availability and his playing time on the floor.
Yeah.
You can't have a guy that inconsistent be your sole number two and expect to do anything in the playoffs. So if they can find a worthwhile package, like you said, yeah, that's fine. But I don't think it's that simple. There's not going to be a lot of teams who want to give up a lot for him.
Yeah, and the Bradley Beal situation, I've kind of – and I told you and Kirk this earlier today, but I've pretty much given up on that, because I feel like Bradley Beal is content with, you know, just mediocrity in Washington. And I know they relate it to Dirk, but Dirk didn't have the level of I mean, I don't even know how to say it. Like, he didn't have all these losses piled up on him like Bradley Beal does in Washington. Dirk had a lot more regular season success. It was just playoff failures up until that 2011 title. So, I mean, yeah, loyalty wise, yeah, I mean, you can relate it to Dirk that way, but it's not really the same situation. I've just kind of given up on that though. You know, he's happy in Washington. I accept that, but Zach LaVine is a little bit different situation, because he is going to be going into the final year of his contract next season. And then he'll be an unrestricted free agent, and they made the trade for Vooch, but that hasn't really gone according to plan. It doesn't seem to have made them any better. So they're still just, you know, on the outside looking in with the playoff situation over in the East, which, I mean, if you're in the East and you're not even in the main playoff picture, what are you doing? And Chicago is not a place that he's been his entire career either. He was traded there from Minnesota. So, I mean, I don't think he has like real deep ties to Chicago. There was some smoke before this last NBA draft that the Mavs inquired about, you know, trading for LaVine. So we know they're interested. It's something we've been talking about at DallasBasketball.com for, you know, what, a year and a half now. So, I mean, that's something I would be looking at. That would be, you know, one of those top tier type trades. I considered him like a second tier star a while back, but I mean, he's been so good this year. I think you can, you know, up him up to that top level type of star you could trade for. And then Lauri Markkanen, he is a restricted free agent this offseason too. So, I mean, he's kind of a similar player type to KP. His potential isn't as good, obviously. You know, when KP's firing on all cylinders, that's the best case scenario for the Mavs. If KP plays like, you know, good KP, you know, that's where the Mavs' potential is at its highest. But what concerns me, though, and just getting back into what you were talking about, the availability and all that stuff, what concerns me is the consistency, because when you don't get that top tier KP, and you know, it's, you never know what you're going to get from him on a night to night basis. And yeah, he's averaging 20 points per game and 8 rebounds per game, but the way the team plays when Luka is healthy and KP is out, there's a huge difference in like the feel of the team. You know, it feels like they, like the Utah game when KP was out, that last game, like you could just feel the team having more fun. The offense was flowing better. They weren't having to go out of their way to force feed KP in the post and make sure he's getting his certain number of touches and all that. You know, it's almost like a high maintenance type of thing to keep him happy, and you have to work to get him in a groove and keep him in a groove. And I just feel like the team has more fun playing with each other when he's out. I mean, do you see that? Am I the only one that sees that?
No, you're not the only one that sees that. I mean, they looked looser. They looked everything looked more efficient, which is crazy because on paper KP should fit in perfectly with the offense.
Yeah. And he has at times when he's playing the way we expect him to play, but it's just not consistent.
But I mean, this is the problem you have when you have two stars, one of which is more humble and whatever words you want to use, like Luka, and one who's a little bit more of a prima donna. And I mean, he may not be like super outspoken all the time, but KP is a bit of a prima donna.
Yeah.
And
there were some very passive aggressive moments in that post game presser last night.
there always is with him. And, you know, his brother probably has something to do with it as well, who's his agent. And it's this whole thing. And it's just like none of them are like huge issues, but like there's all these little things with KP. And then there's the injury stuff that, like, you know, clouds over everything, and it's just getting to a point where it's just not worth any of it anymore.
Now, look, given, you know, in that Houston game, the main thing he was upset about is that he wasn't involved enough in that fourth quarter, and I actually agree with him on that. For that particular game, he wasn't involved as much, but the few times they tried to get him involved in the second half of that game, and, you know, in the fourth quarter, he couldn't fit, you know, like Luka, he lobbed a pass. He was getting double teamed, and I think it was like 6 minutes left. It was a 4-point game, 84-80. Luka got double teamed, and he did one of those where he like jumps and throws the pass over both defenders to KP in the paint. And he threw it up high around his shoulders too. But when KP caught it, he went down with it. And then he tried to go back up and he got stripped. It went out of bounds, and, you know, he didn't do anything with it. So, it's stuff like that, you know, where they try to get him involved, but more times than not, it just turns into a wasted possession. So you can't really blame Luka for second guessing, you know, should I pass to KP, or is this just going to turn into a, you know, as soon as I pass it, he's just going to, you know, jack something up, whether he's open or not, and it turns into a wasted possession. So, but I do agree that with the way he was shooting last night, he was over 50% from the field. I would have liked to see him, you know, getting more involved in that fourth quarter, given how everybody else was shooting the ball, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Now, this is from Ben. He sent us a question. It says, do you guys think the play-in is fair? Well, we kind of already asked that too. He said, what difference between seeds do you think it becomes unfair? Like 10 more wins. So we kind of already talked about this. I gave my take on it. You can give yours, Matt. But
no, I mean, I totally agree with yours. I think it's ridiculous. First of all, that there even is a play-in, I think, is ridiculous. I think it was a dumb rule.
It waters down the regular season. Let me say that it waters down the regular season for the teams who actually performed well enough to get into the top eight. Now, from a money perspective, I get it, because you're making it to where – more games, like with the Pelicans, who aren't good, even though they have Zion, he's ESPN's darling. You know, you have the Pelicans that stay relevant because of this play-in, and you have more people watching these games that they forced all these national TV games on teams that aren't good. So that's from a money perspective, it makes sense, because the NBA lost a lot of money with the COVID stuff that happened, with the season being delayed. They're trying to make up for it somehow. Now, if they came out and said this is just temporary, you know, to make up some money that way, I would feel okay about it. But if this is here to stay, I hate it. And I already hate it, but I understand. I just don't want it to be a long-term thing, because I can just see the Mavs staying at seventh and something just catastrophic happening in the play-in, and then they end up just not even making the playoffs. That would be just such a wasted season because of a stupid rule.
Yeah, I get it. Like, all the reasons you're saying, I get it. Like, it makes sense on paper. But to have four teams battling for the last two spots is beyond, like, it's beyond dumb. If you want to have, like, the final three teams, you know, the winner of 9-10 plays 8 to get into the playoffs, sure. But the seventh seed, like, the top seven seed should not be touched. And I would be saying this if the Mavs were the two seed or if they were the 11 seed. Like, it doesn't matter to me. The whole idea of four teams battling for two spots when there's that much of a disparity between some of the records is just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the standings here. So the Mavs, they're still in seventh. The Grizzlies, they're a game and a half behind the Mavs. And then let's see, from the Grizzlies to the Spurs, so from 8 to 9, there's a 2-game difference between them and then a 1-game between the Spurs and the Warriors. So it's a lot tighter overall, but I'm just looking at, you know, from Golden State to Dallas, there's about a 5.5 game difference right now. And it's probably going to be more than that at season's end, the way Golden State has been playing. So that's my thing. You know, the idea that a team that's that far behind the seventh seed in the West, potentially being in the playoffs and that seventh seed not, when they perform so much better in the regular season, I just hate it. I hate it. I get why they're doing it for money reasons, but I do not like it at all. And I'm not going to change my mind on that. So
there's literally nothing you could rationalize with me that would make me like this rule.
No, I hate it. And especially, I thought at first, when it first came out, I thought the seventh seed was safe. I thought this was just going to be between the eighth seed and the two seeds after that. But then Bobby Marks posted the rules for it the other day, and I was reading it, and I was like, man, this sucks. Like, I hate this. But all right, so moving on, Matt, the Mavs are going to try to bounce back on the second night of back-to-back. The Bucks, they're potentially could be without Giannis. Even if they are without Giannis, I mean, we've seen it before. It doesn't make a difference. It just depends on what kind of demeanor this Mavs team comes out with. That'll determine if they have a shot to win or not. But anyway, our guy, Richard Stamen, he's at Mavs Draft on Twitter. He sent us a versus Mavs all-star question for tonight because he said, who's the scarier bench threat tonight against Dallas? Byron Forbes or Thanasis, if I'm saying that right, Thanasis Antetokounmpo. He said Thanasis had a 23-point game a couple weeks ago, and I feel like he could produce similarly tonight. But Byron is a guy that killed Dallas when he was a Spur. And my answer to this one, Matt, is simply yes. Because anytime there's any kind of versus Mavs all-star from previous experiences, I think Giannis's brother could become the next person in line on that list of versus Mavs all-stars tonight, mainly because he's super athletic and he's high energy, and the Mavs just, you know, they have trouble against guys like that. And then Forbes, like he mentioned, he's killed the Mavs in the past with the Spurs. So yes. Yeah, I think both are pretty scary in my opinion. It's like kind of like Kelly Olynyk going for 18 rebounds last night. Just
so dumb.
Shit. You know, Kurt was saying something. He was kind of bashing KP a little bit. Well, bashing might be harsh, but he was saying something about KP letting Olynyk go for that. And I was like, Kirk, I'm just going to tell you that was happening regardless. For it is written, Kelly Olynyk is going to kill the Mavs, no matter who they have at center. That was going to happen last night.
They probably could have had DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond at the same time in there trying to rebound, and Olynyk still would have gone for 18.
Exactly. It's just a matter. It's just some of these guys, they see Mavs blue in front of them, and it just their eyes light up and they go off. But what do you think? Who are you more worried about tonight, or is there somebody else you're worried about if Giannis doesn't play?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just the bench players too, but another guy I was thinking about is Brook Lopez, because he hasn't really had the best season compared to what he's done the last few years. But, oh, man, there was a game, I think it was in the bubble, and then a previous game last season against the Mavs where he hit like 6 or 7 threes, something ridiculous like that. So I'm worried about that, but, you know, we'll see. Maxey, he missed that Houston game. He might be back tonight. We really won't know anything for another 25 minutes or so. But who knows, man. Maybe they'll bounce back, get another big win, and then we'll be riding a high for a little bit longer. The timing of losing to that lowly Houston team that's tanking right after beating the best team in the league convincingly. You know, it was an 8-point win, but it really was more than that. They whooped them in that game. Mm-hmm. And then turning around losing to Houston, it was just deflating, and it's got everybody in a frenzy. And KP came out and said some stuff and said about his injury. And then there was another little tidbit of info that came out about Golden State was trying to get him at the deadline and all that, and convenient timing, you know. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm kind of down on KP right now. I think the Mavs are at their best when he's at his best, but I'm not very confident in the consistency right now. I hope it's there for the playoffs, and I hope they make a long run. But if they don't, I think the Mavs will make some big changes this offseason. I don't see him being here for the long term with the way things have gone. So,
no, I mean, it's kind of crazy how the day they traded for him, we were like, oh, my God, it's 21st century Nash and Dirk. This is going to be amazing. And so far it's just been half of that.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Yeah.
Luke has lived up to his part of the bargain. KP has not.
Living up to his part of the bargain. He's like
– he surpassed way it.
Past, like, anything that I expected that he was going to be already, and he's only in year three.
Yeah, two straight months of shooting 43% from three. I mean, that's pretty good. That was one of the only things he was missing in his game, and he went and worked on that in the offseason, and he started out slow this year, but he got it back on track. And we always said if he can just shoot league average from three, which is about 35%, that would be amazing. And he's almost at 38% for the season this year. So that's just incredible. And that's why I'm confident, you know, if Luke is healthy and he's on the court, I'm pretty confident with any game the Mavs play. But when he has a rare off night like he did the other night, you can't have anybody else slacking up. So it's just one of those things. But anyway, guys, that's going to do it for another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We're less than 50 subscribers away from 1,000. And once we do that, we're going to give away two tickets to the Mavs home game of one lucky subscriber's choice. So also, we've got these awesome Mavs Step Back Podcast t-shirts that are on the way. We're going to start selling these bad boys. So I can't remember the guy's name who won our bracket challenge the other night, but as soon as they come in, we're sending him one, and y'all be on the lookout for these. If you want one, we'll have them for sale. So guys, we appreciate it. We hope the Mavs win tonight, and we'll have something a little bit more positive to talk about going into next week. But unless something crazy happens, we'll see you at the first of the week next week. So y'all have a good one.
Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.